Hi, you are listening to some extra material from the footsteps of an entrepreneur. Together, me, Timo Metsäjoki, and Valentin Beats from Bear Hill Husky are going to discuss a little bit more about the Huskies. I have to ask that you have 65 dogs at the moment. Do you know each and every dog by their name, or do you sometimes have to have like second guesses?
I sometimes need to second guess, but all of them I know by name. What usually happens is I work with a small group of dogs, 20 of them. For me to keep track of all 65, exactly who they are, you know, I know all the dogs. In many cases, I gave the names themselves. But for instance, some of the younger dogs, I might still mix their names up. But once I get to the point that that they're in my responsibility area, then I will definitely know them. So it's usually the younger dogs that I'm not up, you know, when they get into teenage years, there might be a couple of black dogs that I've not worked with in a long time. I'll mix them up. But all the other dogs I do know.
How do you feed the dogs? Raw meat or kibble? And how much does it cost per month or per year?
It costs varying. Let's put it this way. We feed both raw meat and we feed kibble. So dry food and raw meat and raw fish. Where you get your meat from, this is actually a very interesting conversation and a very deep one in some ways. So the way we feed our dogs, when we use leftover meat, which would be leftover slaughter refuse from the slaughterhouses, this is considered to be carbon neutral, because the actual carbon cost of this has already been counted in the steak or the chicken fillet or the chicken wing, which you as a human are eating. The leftovers, that's rubbish. It has no carbon footprint. It is not counted there. So when you go out and eat your chicken wing, the rubbish, the carbon footprint of the rubbish is included in the chicken wing. So when I take the actual rubbish and feed it to my dogs, it is kind of counted as carbon neutral. If we would use food which would not be rubbish, leftovers, then we would need to count. Then we end up having two ethical dilemmas. First of all, if we would take proper meat, something that would still be good for human consumption, now we're ending up taking good food, which is actually meant, which could feed a starving human here or in Africa, or, you know, the classic, yeah, but in Africa they're hungry. But these days you can freeze it, you can dry it, you can ship it. You know, in theory, we can take food and we can send it all over the world to feed hungry humans, and we would be feeding it to dogs, which is kind of like, you know, stupid.
In a way, yes.
So you should not take prime food, prime meat, or any, you know, even grains or anything, and be feeding it to a dog. A dog is an animal that throughout its 20, 30,000 years of domestication has been fed with leftovers. It has always been eaten either the scraps from the hunt or the scraps from the table. So a dog's very essence is that of a refuse eater. And it should not, in my opinion, be fed with anything but refuse. Now, these days, you know, we have industrial, agricultural, and, you know, animal husbandry practices. We create thousands of tons of leftover rubbish, which, of course, it being rubbish, we can feed it to our dogs. Put it a bit more difficultly, if you think about it again, ethically, with all the modern dog food, or sorry, not even dog food, but food processing technology, you could almost say that there is not really any real leftover rubbish food anymore. We can take that food and, you know, those unsavory bits and turn them into something edible for humans. So with dogs, when we're running one dog, it's, you know, you can think about it. But if you're running 60 or 65 or 100 dogs or even more, you got to think about, you know, it's part of the ethical dilemmas that you get. For me, I haven't exactly solved it further than it's rubbish, therefore we can feed it. Dry food the same. A lot of dry food is made with leftovers from the you know, the bio industry production things. So as long as that food is, or what you are feeding to your dogs is a leftover, I'm actually pretty happy feeding it. And in some cases, it is considered to be without carbon emission. Although that is a bit of a trick in the sense that another good way of thinking about this, Neste recently, they have this zero emission diesel that they make. And they say it's zero emissions because they use a leftover palm oil product, a rest product. So they say because it's a rest product, it has no carbon emissions.
But it has.
Of course it has.
It's diesel.
It has, but it's diesel. But they're the legal categorization of this, it's just been categorized as waste. Therefore, it has no carbon emission because the carbon emission is counted in the shampoo that they made from the palm oil. But of course, when you drive that car, it's still going to pump out that diesel. So the same thing goes with this meat. You know, it's not really, the leftover meat is not really, of course, CO2 neutral, but it's just where they count it. So it's a bureaucratic zero emission, not a real zero emission. But again, this is one of those things that when you're feeding your dogs, you're not going to worry about this when you're standing outside with your bucket feeding your dog. Then you're just going to look at, does the dog want to eat it? Is it good for the dog? And in the end, what does it cost? And you ask, what does it cost to feed a dog? Roughly euro to an euro and a half per dog per day. And you can get by with quite some tricks if you manage to find a fisherman who has rosca cola from the, you know, that they're cleaning the lakes. You can get fish from them, cook that. That's a good source of protein and calcium for your dogs. It's also cheap, but you actually need to go and, you know, pick up the fish and cook it and freeze it and all this kind of thing. So it requires some manual labor. So there's ways to get this dog food bill down. But push comes to shove, just like every athlete, if you want to have quality performance, you need to have quality food. And that needs to be a good protein, good fat, and good carb source in there.
How much do you share your values with the customers? And do they accept them or do they understand them or how they react?
We haven't made a big deal out of this just yet. We use green SAHCA, green electricity certificates. We have not actually been using that a lot in our marketing. What we do a lot is we show how we are working with the dogs and how we're taking care of them. It's almost as these certificates are so natural for us to have, it's not something that we need to promote. But we will be doing this more in the future because we do believe that we have done this. So, and it differentiates us from our competitors in many ways. So it's some way for us to differentiate ourselves and to put the word out there, hey guys, this is what we're doing, and come book a tour with us.
How about the animal welfare? I suppose it's an important topic as well.
It goes back to this, you know, how we run the business. Part of it is we want to challenge, especially on animal welfare. There was a time that in Finland, the huskies were not being treated very well. And this is due to some cultural things, a very utilitarian approach to animals in the north here in Lapland. There were people in it who were in it for the money, not for the love of dogs or the love of running dogs. And the level of care in some cases was a bit poor. And when we came in and we had the chance to build this new kennel, we decided to build a kennel which would be newer, more fantastic, more animal friendly, in many ways more expensive as well. But we were going to make some serious investments in the kennel and the welfare where the dogs actually live, where the dogs live and their welfare. And the idea was to challenge our competitors to say, hey guys, if I, you know, a foreigner with 65, 80 dogs can do this, then why can't you with 200 dogs do this? And I'm going to compete. I'm going to come in here. I'm going to tell everyone about this fantastic kennel we're going to have. I'm going to take your work and I will take your customers. And if you want to stay within this game, get better. You know, it was a challenge. It was literally get better. If you want to compete, I'm going to compete. I'm going to compete hard. I'm going to take your customers. And by doing that, we're going to force you to get better because we're going to move the competitive field to a new level, which is not anymore price or who has the most dogs, but we're going to go to one where who has the best, you know, kennel, who has the best animal welfare. And by forcing, and luckily what we've seen in the last couple of years is that people have actually gotten better. You know, kennel, every new kennel, because kennels get renewed every now and again, they are being renewed better than they were before, up to a better standard. Now, I don't want to take credit for that myself, that we did it, but we do see that we have inspired some other kennels to get better. And that is, like I said, be forceful. If you have an idea and you want to spread it out, just spread it out there. B-Force will go for it. And don't, you know, we're strangers. Together, me and my wife, we don't have that many contacts in Finland. So there's not many people we can piss off other than strangers, which is, in our case, pretty good. It does mean that we don't have a network, which makes it really hard in some cases, but it does make it easier to do something which is different than what has been done before. So be forceful, stand behind your principles and go for it.